More Idaho Matters right now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. In 2021, Boise State professor Scott Yenner made national news after giving a speech at the 2021 National Conservatism Conference calling independent women, quote, more medicated, meddlesome, and quarrelsome than women need to be. He then went on to say that, quote, every effort must be made not to recruit women into engineering, but rather recruit and demand more of men who become engineers. Ditto for med school and the law and every trade, end quote. Well, as you can imagine, that made headlines, but so did how one Boise State student responded. Allie Orr decided to take action, starting a GoFundMe page that raised more than $200,000. It all went towards creating a scholarship for women interested in pursuing STEM, medicine, or the law. So fast forward to today. Allie is back at it again. She is fundraising to help support women in their field of choice, and she is joining us to talk more about all of this. Allie, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much.
So I want to go back to 2021, and as I quoted that comment, talk about your initial reaction to those comments that Yenner made.
When I first heard that, I was, one, I didn't believe it. I couldn't believe that a professor at my university who I believe would have my back as I go to classes and things like that, I would assume a professor would be there for their students. And so to hear that a professor had said that, I one started researching it. And so I watched the whole video and I was so incredibly hurt that he'd used those three words to describe women.
So could you have imagined then how much support that you would receive when you decided to put a scholarship together?
No, so when I heard those words, it was that day that I decided I'm going to do this. And I had saw someone had posted a comment on one of his videos that said someone should make a scholarship for these students because I didn't know how to fight back and I didn't want to fight fire with fire. I wanted to do something productive and positive and uplifting for the people he's hurt. And so I was like, okay, we're going to start a fundraiser. We're going to do this scholarship. And I thought, no one's going to support this. I'm going to get a lot of hate. What if I don't even make enough money and raise enough to be able to even open a scholarship? And so sending out those emails to Boise State staff that day to ask for money, I felt like I was risking it all. And but fast forward to today, and the scholarship sits at over $450,000. $200,000 of that was raised by me. And then we have an amazing estate commitment by an amazing, amazing person that wants to remain anonymous who donated $250,000, which is amazing. So I never thought we'd be here today.
And you've been able to reward some of this scholarship money, correct? What's that been like?
Yes, we have a wonderful student, Jessica Lambert, my dear friend. I've got to know her because of this. And she's an engineering and computer science student at Boise State. And I think the tangibility of being able to say, I'm going to make a change. And within 5 months, I'm going to award that change to somebody else and change their life was everything to me, because that meant I actually did something from his hateful words and turned it into productive positivity and actual change.
So I know you're passionate about supporting women in all fields, in particular STEM. So talk to me a little bit about that. And have you always felt this way, or were you kind of kickstarted when these comments were made?
So what's so funny about this is not the first time I have done something like this. Back in my high school, we used to have a charity pageant called Mr. and then insert our high school name. And so the other surrounding high schools, they had Mr. and Mrs. And so I said, why not Mrs.? And we had some girls that were interested in doing it. And we had boys saying, no, they don't get to do this. And so they all boycotted and didn't do this charity pageant. All went to charity. And so I said, no, I'm going to put this on. And so I single-handedly put the entire charity pageant on. And we were able to raise some money, not enough, but it was one of those moments where I knew what I was going to do and I stuck with it even when people disagreed with it. And I think that those moments have translated to me being able to start this scholarship now. So it hasn't always just been women in STEM. It's been women in general, but to be able to now focus that into STEM has been absolutely amazing.
So let's talk about today, because you are fundraising once again for the Women in STEM, Medicine, and Law Scholarship. So what is your goal this time around?
Yes. So the US Census Bureau had an article in 2019 that said women make up nearly 50% of the workforce, yet only 27% of STEM workers. And so that's not a great number. And so this month for Women's History Month, I want to fundraise, and I don't want to fundraise off of this professor's negativity. I just want to fundraise and support and just enforce the fact that women belong in every place. And so I have a merch shop that all the proceeds from the merchandise of t-shirts, mugs, all those kinds of things, it all goes to the scholarship. And we had it last year, and we made t-shirts that said medicated, meddlesome, and quarrelsome, those words that the professor used to describe women. And this time around, this month, we've changed those words to motivated, mighty, and qualified. So this month, I really want to focus on how can we uplift women, and we're going to disregard those comments because right now they're irrelevant. We've awarded the scholarship. We're moving forwards.
So let's talk a little bit about what's been going on since you started this journey back in 2021, because you have heard from so many women. They've reached out to you, they've told you their own stories of gender inequality and discrimination. I mean, frankly, I don't think you could meet one woman who doesn't have a story of that in some way. So with that said, you really want to bring more awareness to these experiences, right?
I do. You know, and exactly what we were talking about before, I didn't realize how many women had the same experience and why they just jumped on this and wanted to support me so much because they said there were so many moments in their own lives where they said, I didn't get to stand up, or I didn't, or someone did it for me. And so they said, I want to do that for another woman. I want to support her and her journey. And so underneath all these stories, I realized like these women, they all have the same story, but you know, they're not talking to each other. They don't know that they exist. And so I thought, you know, we need to put this, these stories need to be compiled. And so I thought of, you know, I should, these stories need to be elevated. So right now I'm working on this project called Elevate Her Stories, where I'm going to compile all these stories of women's experiences in medicine and law and STEM in the education world and the workforce world, and what they've experienced, both positive and negative, moments where they were uplifted, where they uplifted other women, where they were pushed down, what they did, how they fell, and how they've been impacted. And so I hope this is like going to be an amazing continuation of not only the scholarship, but a new project of how do we continue to support and listen to women.
How have you been impacted by hearing all of these stories and, you know, right? Different experiences, but similar themes.
I remember the first time I read, I think it was an older woman's story about being in STEM, and she said, I've always been the only woman in the room, the only woman applying for this job, the only woman sitting at this table. And I cried because she told me that it makes her incredibly happy to see that there are young people looking out for women in other industries. My degree's in marketing, it's not STEM, but I have friends, I have family in STEM, and you don't need to have friends or family in an area to care about that area. But I remember seeing all these stories, and what was so heartbreaking to me is that there were women that I knew that go to university that said they felt like that. And then there are women who are 60 years old and retired that also felt like that. And to see that maybe we haven't made enough change, which we know we haven't, that continued to inspire me to keep fundraising and keep fighting for this and to write this book.
And as you know, go on this journey too, I mean, how much do you think about you know, that what matters, like representation matters, right? Seeing other people, whether it's women, whether it's you know, BIPOC individuals, right? Like representation matters. And I think sometimes what we've run into as women or marginalized, you know, people is that there is this fear that there won't be enough room at the table, right? That it's like, well, if you put a woman in that position, then you're ousting a man. And I've always thought, like, no, just get a bigger table with more chairs. And I'm wondering how you have, you know, continued to think about this and if what your thought process have been going through this experience.
I love that you said that. I always talk about this as well, of get rid of the scarcity principle of that only one person can win. When you see your friend, when you see your sister, when you see anyone win, that's not, again, that doesn't bring anyone else down. When they win, we all win. And so just like you said, make the table bigger, bring up more chairs. There is, we can all win here. And I think that oftentimes there's this negative competition that exists that should not exist, that if someone gets a spot, it means that someone just missed out. And that's just not true. More opportunities lead to more opportunities, period.
Yeah, I love that. So I'm curious, Allie, what are your plans for the future moving forward?
Oh, thank you for asking. My current plans are to work at my job that I currently have. I work for an engineering company, funny enough. And I'm right now studying for the LSAT to hopefully go to law school in 2024.
Oh, wow. Well, good luck to you on that. Where can people go if they'd like to make a donation? And can they make a donation or do they need to go to the merch shop or could they do both?
They can do all of the above. So they can search Allie Orr GoFundMe, Women in STEM GoFundMe. And there's two that'll pop up. There's the old one from last year. That one's been closed. And there's a new one. And the goal for that one is 27,000, as we talked about earlier. And that's the one you can donate to. You can also go to the merch shop. If you just search Bonfire, which is a platform that holds the merch shop, you search Bonfire Meddlesome Merch, and my merch shop will pop up. And you can donate through that merch shop. Like when you buy something, and then the proceeds from what you buy will also go to the scholarship. So there's many ways to donate. You can also email me too. I'm sure my contact information will be in here as well. So all the ways, we'll make it easy on you.
Okay. And then I know you said you were doing this in particular for Women's History Month, which of course ends on March 31st. So is that your deadline for raising this 27,000?
It was. We're only at about 3,300, which is totally fine. It's been a lot of fun to fundraise, and I've heard a lot more stories. So I'm going to probably leave it open through April. And if anyone wants to donate outside of this, because I'll likely close it in a couple weeks, it won't just be March 31st that I'll close it. They can always contact Boise State Advancement, and they can donate through there as well.
All right. Well, Allie, it was a pleasure talking with you and hearing more about your project.
Thank you. It was so nice talking with you. I really appreciate it.
We've been talking with Allie Orr about the Women in STEM, Medicine, and Law Scholarship. We will, of course, put links to our website. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is Chip Brantley, co-host of the NPR podcast White Lies. Before we found the man in Vancouver, before we sued the State Department, before we snuck into the graveyard of a federal penitentiary, all we had were the photographs. Photographs of a group of Cuban men standing on the roof of a prison in rural Alabama. That's this season on the NPR podcast White Lies.